Let's start out here. This is going to be about Christ's two-stage commissioning of Paul the Apostle. And that's what made him an apostle. The word send, well, let's start. We're going to go over some ground rules a little bit here. But in Acts 26, verses 16 to 20, you can see Christ's early now send. I now send you. His early now send limited Jews and Greeks commissioning of Paul in Acts 9. And in some cases, when we talk about Christ sending Paul, we're talking about Christ's order for Paul that he would later commission Paul to launch out on. For instance, the kings in Acts 9:15, he mentions children of Israel. Well, he mentions Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And immediately, within three or four verses, he's going straightway into the synagogues to preach that Jesus is the Christ. So he's preaching to the children of Israel. The difference is that Acts 9:15 is sometimes taken as a commission, but it's not. If you read the wording of it, it's not a sending, not a commissioning. It's like a pre-biography kind of thing. It's telling what Paul is going to be doing in his life, what God has laid out for Paul. Now, that's not for everybody, that commissioning, and that pattern is that part of the thing. That's not for us. I mean, we're not to go around looking for God's pattern for me. What am I going to be doing the rest of my life? What has God set up for me that I can't avoid or that I should try for or whatever? No, he set up free choice for you, and we have the choice to believe the gospel or not, and we take the consequences. We have, I mean, when you go into the ministry, it's to be because you want to serve others by getting the gospel to them. You want to pass on God's grace that he gave to you. It's not because he spoke to you in the night hours and impressed on you that it's not a personal it's personal, yeah, but it's not an individual communication of God. These things are recorded in the Bible, and it shouldn't be a mystery anymore about Paul's commissioning, Paul's different gospel, different doctrine that's for us compared to what Moses gave and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teaches, and Jesus Christ taught to Israel. We're not Israel, though. It's a matter of who finds these things and who brings them to our attention. They're in the Bible. We're talking about Bible truths here. Often ignored Bible truths. In fact, there's a TV program called Forgotten Truths that talks about these very things. But it's simply a matter of believing the Bible and what God has said in his Bible. And to whom, specifically, to whom each part is written or addressed, promised. Who's being warned? Noah was warned of a flood, but we're not being warned of a flood. You have to make sure you're understanding who each pronoun is referring to. When you talk with someone that rightly, if you start off you talking to somebody that does not rightly divide, you find that they have no problem saying, well, gospel of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of circumcision, they're all the same. They're all the same because there's only one gospel in the Bible. They have no problem ignoring the names that God gave to his various dispensings of his grace to mankind. But we who distinguish between the dispensations and rightly divide, we should take note of the names that God gives to his dispensations and to his gospels and to the differences in the churches that he sets up. We shouldn't be saying, oh, they're all the same. God didn't say they're all the same. He made the difference. So these are significant verses, and I don't want to just reference, you know, or read the verses. People have misunderstood the verses for too long. People get tempted to take a few words from a verse and plug it into a different context. That's not proper. I mean, you're fooling yourself to think God said something that you invented. You're inventing it. I want for us to read the whole context to gain a full understanding, and then I'll point out some significant places. I see Christ's early limited sending of Paul described in at least these four scripture passages. And I want to just name the passages first. You can look at them at your leisure, and we're going to go through them after I name them, reference them. Acts 26, verses 16 to 20. Acts 22, verses 1 to 16. Romans 1:16, and 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 18. Those are four places that God is talking about Paul's earlier sending, not his all-man sending. I should say before his all-man sending. By the way, and we'll get more into this later, I'm sure, but it's the same message. It's the same gospel truth. It's a different name to it because of the different audience. To distinguish when you're talking about his the gospel as it is now to all people, that Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting, he was buried and rose again, or whether you're talking about when he first introduced that and all that he had worked with before was Israel through the covenants and those that would come to Israel, not physically come to the nation, but come to that doctrine, to believing that doctrine that God would raise up Israel in the last days and make a kingdom of them that will never end, never Daniel 2:44, it will never stop. Well, it's not here now. There's no holy nation now. There's no, they're not God's peculiar people anymore. They've been, I'm trying to think of the term, blinded and cast away in Acts 28. And that term cast away is spoken of as being coming later than when it was written. It was written in Acts, in Romans 11:15. Romans 11:2 says that Israel is not cast away at the time of that writing of that book in Acts 20:3, but when you get to the 15th verse in Romans 11, it does talk about Israel being cast away, and that happened with the reading of that casting away curse in Isaiah 6. Paul read it to them, and that's all you hear of them. That's all that's written about them. That ends the book of Acts. So, let's get into some of these the references of Christ's early sending of Paul's early commissioning. Firstly, in Acts 26, verses 16 to 20. But rise, stand upon thy feet, and you probably recognize this as he's in Acts 26, he's talking in front of, I believe it was King Agrippa at the time, and he's talking about his salvation experience on the road to Damascus. And after he had received the Lord as being the Lord instead of being a fraud, the Lord said, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. For this purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. So he saw some things there on that road to Damascus. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. I will appear unto thee. And that's, there's not just one revelation of Jesus Christ to Paul. There were many of them through his lifetime there from then on. He says, I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from, who's he delivering him from? The people and the Gentiles. From the people and from the Gentiles. And that's the ones that he's sending him to, the people and the Gentiles, that he has to deliver him from. Going on to verse 18, to open their eyes. That's why he's sending them to them. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Turn them back to God. God made covenants with them, and he's to go and preach to them to open their eyes and to turn them back to the light. Turn them away from the power of Satan. Turn them unto God. And the gospel of God fits that description. The gospel of God that Paul preached was turning them from the darkness that they were in to the light of the world. And that gospel of God was changing their minds about who the light of the world is. Who is the light of the world? The gospel of God identifies who Jesus is. It labels him. It names him as being the Son of God. Believe in the name of the Son of God. For them, that was what they didn't do. They rejected Jesus as being a fraud. They needed to believe on him as being the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And those are the three points of the gospel of God. It's facts about who Jesus is. Now, if you think back to what I just said, I didn't say anything about do this or believe this and you're saved. It's not a gospel of salvation. It's a gospel of who is Jesus. It relates the earthly Jesus that walked the earth 30 to 33 AD, from it relates him to the Old Testament prophecies of a Messiah coming, of my righteous servant that would bear the sins of many in Israel. And we know now that it's more than that, but that's all they were told at the time. The rest was kept a mystery, kept a secret. So he's to go on. That's not the end of the statement. To open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And then it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That they, that's still 18. Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may. There it is. That's the connector there. Because of the gospel of God and their belief in it, they may. The second part of the verse that's coming up next is what it's leading into. The first part of the verse allows a person to take a step into the second part of the verse, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me. So that's where the faith comes in. That's where the salvation message is applicable here. They receive the forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The gospel of Christ fits that description. In the gospel of Christ, you can see the gospel of salvation. They would receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. Their faith is in Christ Jesus. So going on, Paul is still before King Agrippa, and he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first of all, this is Acts 26, now verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent. So here he is in Acts 26. After he's been sent to all men, he's telling about his journey, what happened after his salvation experience, and that he first went to Damascus, talked to the Jews in the synagogue there, and then he went to Jerusalem, and then he went throughout Judea, regaining his credibility, teaching that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Those three things. And then to the Gentiles, it says. So there's an order there. They're in order. The Gentiles didn't come instantly, right away when he was saved. And he says that they should repent. In other words, change their mind about what they believe. Let's consider who are the they in they should repent. Paul said, first unto them of Damascus. Well, who did Paul preach to in Damascus? In Acts 9, 19 and 20, we're told, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Straightway he preached Christ. That's Messiah. That's not just his name. That's identifying him as the Old Testament Messiah. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So the them in Damascus were the disciples in the synagogue. Does it say disciples? With the disciples, certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. That's those that believed what had been revealed to them. And Paul hadn't been going around preaching the doctrine of Christ yet, the new pattern that was to be followed. Acts 26:20 continues after Damascus, and with those at Jerusalem, it says. Well, who was Paul with in Jerusalem? And we go on down to verse 26 to find that, Acts 9:26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So the them that were in Jerusalem were more Jewish disciples and those Jewish apostles, the 12 apostles of Israel. And verse 20 continues, after Jerusalem with throughout all the coasts of Judea. Who was Paul with in Judea? Verse 20, and this is Acts 11, verses 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, verse 26. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And I think it's significant that he brought him to Antioch, not to Jerusalem. He brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There was an apparent change, a change in their name and a change in the doctrine. Saul came back and preached at least 52 weeks to these people that had been scattered to Antioch from Jerusalem because they already believed the gospel of God. Well, Paul had preached the gospel of God, but these people already believed it and could be preaching it like he was. So what was he preaching to them that made them change and be recognized by those around them as Christians, little Christs? Well, it doesn't come right out and tell us, does it? But there was an apparent change, a change in their name. And like we said earlier, we right dividers make a difference when God makes a difference. And when he gives it a different name, Christian, rather than disciple, then we consider it differently if God gave it a different name. So we don't just say that they're all the same. Going on in Acts 11, verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And I think it's interesting that this Agabus shows up again later in the book of Acts, in Acts 21. This is Acts 11, but he shows up in Acts 21 with another prediction. Still within the book of Acts. You wouldn't get anything like that happening after the end of Acts when Israel is cast away already. But God is still... The nation fell in Acts 7. But God is still working with individuals. Probably, my guess would be that it's individuals that had heard the kingdom gospel and heard of a Messiah coming and didn't hear the details that Christ had been born and crucified and all that. And when they heard it, those that were called in circumcision believed it. And when Paul started preaching, those that were called in circumcision believed that circumcision message, the kingdom message. Those that were called in uncircumcision, when they heard Paul's message, they believed it. They believed that Christ had died for their sins and that they were saved by believing it, and that Christ resurrected and they would be resurrected. That was going on, not behind the scenes, but it's not emphasized in Acts. I mean, you can find places where it's mentioned. 1 Corinthians 7, 18 and 20, in that region there. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18 especially. But let's go on. We're still in Acts 11, verse 29. Then the disciples... Every man according, this is after this prediction of great dearth or famine, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now this is just after they're first called Christians in Antioch. But this is the first thing in a series of about 10 or 11 things where Paul orders the Church of God to supply the need of the church in Jerusalem. Church of God, excuse me, orders the church, got my names mixed up, I got to call them by God's names, the body of Christ church to supply the need of the Church of God in Jerusalem. The Jewish disciples there. And so there are, you know, there, he did in Rome, in Galatia, in Corinth, in Macedonia. I've got a list. We'll go through that sometime, but you can do it on your own or take my word for it, or go back in the archives there, the recent lessons page or the trusted speakers page, and find a list of them, the 10 or 11 different times that Paul said it's your duty to support those churches. And that's not today. I mean, they've already passed away, 1980 years ago or so. So the them... The word them, those people called them in all the coasts of Judea, were more Jewish disciples. And let's summarize who it was that Paul was referring to when he said in the first part of Acts 26, verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus. That's Jewish disciples. And at Jerusalem, that's Jewish disciples. And throughout all the coasts of Judea. That's more Jewish disciples. After Paul testified that he went to the Jew first and also to the Greek, he goes further in the second part of Acts 26:20, and then to the Gentiles. Jews are not Gentiles. Gentiles are not Jews. When Paul first went to Gentiles, it was prophesied Gentiles, not mystery Gentiles. Now, they were believing Paul's message, so they were in the body of Christ, part of what was revealed about the mystery that Christ had kept, the secret, the mystery of Christ. Paul was sent first to the Jews, along with the Jew blessers, and then later that sending was extended to the alien Gentiles, Gentiles that had nothing to do with God and didn't care about any covenants or any people called themselves God's people. They were heathen, pagan. Check what the verse says again. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coasts of Judea, that's all Jews there, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works of repentance. Doesn't say to be saved, does it? Paul said that the Jew first and also the Gentiles should repent, meaning change their mind. Like Paul had changed his mind on the road to Damascus about who Jesus is, about the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, that he's the Christ, the risen Son of the living God. Then Paul told the Jew, King Agrippa, said he was a Jew, that he preached for the Jews and later for the Gentiles to do the works meet for repentance. Acts 26:20, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So he's talking to a Jew. And that Jew said to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Now he is a Jew. Is he saying, almost you persuade me to be a Jew? He's already a Jew. A Christian is something other than a Jew, than a disciple. They started as disciples, but God made a change. Paul was reciting to King Agrippa what Christ had told him and how he had followed that. People jump to conclusions there. They think that it can't be what Paul said, or that Paul lied or something. But he is not saying how to be saved here. He's not telling King Agrippa, I gave these people the gospel of salvation, that they have to do works for repentance. No, that's not the gospel, and that's not what he told them. He's not telling them the gospel of salvation. That's not what he said at all, is it? Paul did not say anywhere in that verse to do those things to be saved. He was not talking about salvation. He was talking about what he preached. And Paul did not mention facts about the gospel. Excuse me, he did mention facts about the gospel of God. The gospel of God being who Jesus is. But he didn't say that saves you. Paul did not say anything. He didn't say that he preached the gospel of Christ to those people. That wasn't what he said. And notice that Paul did not say anywhere in that verse that those who do those things would be saved. Paul was not telling King Agrippa how he preached salvation. Paul was telling King Agrippa what he did after Christ commissioned him, having sent him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And that was all about the gospel of God, about facts about who Jesus is, not about how to be saved. Now, Paul was saved, but he wasn't sent yet to teach that. He was sent to teach who Jesus is. This description of the identity of Jesus is a bit vague, not specific, like our first four verses in Romans is. first four verses in Romans tell very specifically what the gospel of God is. I'm just going to look it up here and read it out loud for the group here. Welcome to the room, Griffin. Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And there's a parenthesis verse here, which, talking about the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And that's the end of the parenthesis. So it's still talking about the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. There's the sonship of Jesus that's part of the gospel of God, the sonship, that he's the Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That there's the fact that Christ rose from the dead, was resurrected. So he's the Son of God, he rose from the dead, and the part there in verse 3 about him being made of the seed of David, that was the messianic line through which the Messiah would come. So that identifies him as the Messiah too. So the first part of the verse isn't talking about who Satan is or about who Paul is. It's describing the light of the world, Jesus, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. It's more than it's more in the area of the gospel of God than a gospel of salvation. It's vague, like we said. It doesn't list those three things, but that's what the result is of those three things: believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Christ separated Paul and graced Paul to minister the gospel of God. That's what the verse says. He was separated from his mother religion, Galatians, I'm trying to think, 4:25 to 29, somewhere in there, I think it describes his mother's womb as being his mother. The mother religion is what it's a figure of speech for. And he was separated from his mother religion to the gospel of God, right there in the first verse of Romans. So it was done so there would be a result, so that people could have a choice. Romans 15:16 tells us that the gospel of God sets people apart. People that have believed the gospel of God are set up. They're set apart to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. The gospel of God doesn't save them, but it gets them ready. I'm trying to think of the term that Paul used about Timothy, that his mother and grandmother's verses that they taught him as a youth out of the Old Testament, that they got him ready, made him wise, that's the term, made him wise to receive salvation when he hears it, the gospel of salvation. So Paul goes on in that verse and he says that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's something that comes after the gospel of God. The gospel of Christ is what brings forgiveness of sins. There's a separation there. It's all in one sentence, but one leads to the other. The gospel of God leads those people, the believers of it, to be able to receive the gospel of salvation for forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart. By faith that is in me is the last part of the verse there, and that's what makes the difference in the area or doctrine of salvation, is the individual having personal faith that Christ saves him by dying his death for him. The death due to our sin nature is not over us anymore. It's taken away. Christ died for our sins. And when we receive that benefit, it's ours. We receive it by faith, by believing that he did that. He will do what he said, that he saves us. How were they to be set apart to hear and to have faith in the gospel of salvation that Paul preached? That was the function of the gospel of God, believing who Jesus is, to set them apart to hear and believe the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ at that time. Now it's called the gospel of the grace of God to all people. And that's what Paul preached. Peter didn't preach it. It wasn't revealed to Peter by God. It was revealed by Paul after he'd preached it a while in Acts 15. According to Galatians 2, verse 9. But if you look at Romans 15, 16. Whoops. Oh, thunder. and wind, a lot of wind outside. If I'm cut off, that's where I went, to the basement. But Romans 15, 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. In other words, once they believe the gospel of God, they're acceptable to hear and believe. Before Paul, to be acceptable to hear the gospel, you had to believe Israel's doctrine. You had to bless Israel. You had to fear the God of Israel. You had to come to God through Israel. That's gone. You believe who Jesus is, the gospel of God, and you are acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of salvation right then. And that makes sense. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah sent to die for your sins, why would you believe that he died for your sins? You know, they go together. Paul did not say that they would be saved by the gospel of God, but that it made them acceptable. Before the fall of Israel and the salvation of Paul, Gentiles had to bless Israel in order to be acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of salvation, which was a different gospel. It was a gospel that the promised kingdom is at hand. Just believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead, and he will bring in the kingdom here. That was back when Jesus walked the earth, but they didn't receive it, did they? There's no test like that anymore. There's nothing about Israel that is involved with the body of Christ now. The verse goes on, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. The function of the gospel of God is to set people up to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. So believing the gospel of God set apart those Jews and Gentiles to hear and believe the gospel of salvation that Paul preached. Different gospel. It was the one given by Jesus Christ, revealed to Paul for us. They were not forced to believe it. They still had their free choice, their free will. So it was the gospel of God that Paul indicated that he preached to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles, the ones that were there in the synagogues willing to listen. And you can see that in Acts 13:26, the Gentiles that feared God. He was talking to King Agrippa at the time, but that pretty well, I think, there's room for questions, I'm sure, but covers the first four passages that we listed that show Paul's early limited sending in Acts 9. And I see Christ's early I now send you limited Jews and Greeks, Acts 9 sending of Paul. You can see it in Acts 22, verses 1 to 16.